of rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are uninterested, even in the achievements of great mystics. For such achievements do not enhance the transcendental bliss felt by a devotee who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart. Purport. A pure devotee is uninterested not only in elevation to the higher planetary systems, but even in the perfections of mystic yoga. Real perfection is devotional service. The happiness derived from merging in the impersonal Brahman and the happiness derived from the eight perfections of mystic yoga, anima, lagima, prapti, and so on, do not give any pleasure to the devotee. As stated by Śrīla Prabodhananda Saraswati, when a devotee has achieved the position of rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he thinks the impersonal Brahman to be no better than hell, and he regards material happiness in the heavenly planets to be like a will-o'-the-wisp. As far as the perfection of mystic powers is concerned, a devotee compares it to a venomous snake with no teeth. A mystic yogi is especially concerned with controlling the senses, but because the senses of a devotee are engaged in the service of the Lord, arishikeni rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchite, there is no need for separate control of the senses. For those who are materially engaged, control of the senses is required, but a devotee's senses are all engaged in the service of the Lord, which means they are already controlled. Param drisva nivartite. A devotee's senses are not attracted by material enjoyment. I'll stop here for the moment. Om Jnana Tibarandasya Kirangana Shalakya Tashulam Tindena Tasma Shri Buddha Deyama Okam Karoti Vachalam Angam Lanke Kabrimga Krikta Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinati Pancha Kalpa Trubhastha Kipa Sindhu Deva Chas Kitam Padani Yo Vaishna Deva Vanyam Sadhu Sangha Sadhu Sangha Sabha Shastra Vaya Lava Mata Sadhu Sangha Sabha Siddhi. So Śrīla Prabhupāda begins his purport, pointing out, in reference to the verse, that a pure devotee is not only uninterested in elevation to the higher planetary systems, but even in the perfections of mystic yoga. Real perfection is devotional service. In the text, it is equated that devotional service means always thinking of Krishna within the core of the heart. We remember from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where Śrīla Prabhupāda instructs us that the main principle of devotional life is what? What is the main principle of devotional life? The most important principle? Anyone can answer. What is that? Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda points out there that this is the primary instruction around which every other instruction revolves. Every other item of devotional service, there are 64 items described by Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī. Every other item is simply meant to support and assist this principle of always remembering Lord Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. And there in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Śrīla Prabhupāda points out to us that Lord Chaitanya Mahāprabhu has given an authorized program for fixing our mind on Krishna, which is chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The chanting attaches the devotee's heart to the lotus feet of Krishna. Why is it so important to always remember Krishna? What are some of the different reasons why it's so important to always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan? Prabhu? We forgot? Oh. Because we forgot the Lord, we need to remember Him. Yes? What else? What are other reasons to always remember Krishna and never forget Him? You could raise your hand.
So that we develop love for Krishna.
So we may develop love for Krishna. How is it that just by remembering Krishna, love might awaken? What does love have to do with just remembering Krishna? Love is a feeling. Madanamo?
It's been empowered by Lord Chaitanya that this process, the Krishna and His name, are non-different, so it's antiseptic, prophylactic. You just simply remember Krishna favorably, and automatically the heart becomes purified by the process empowered by Lord Chaitanya.
Namatin chamani Krishna's Chaitanya rasa vigraha puna shudra nitya muktam pinato nami namino. From the Padma Purana, we hear this verse, that the holy name of Krishna, any of the millions and millions unlimited names of Lord Krishna, are all equally potent. And they are Chintamani, transcendental touchstone, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya, they are conscious, and Rasa, they are full of mellow relationship, Rasa Vigraha, and the complete form of the Lord is present in His name. I don't claim to have realized all that, but this is the authoritative a statement given to us by Srila Vyasadeva. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha. It is completely pure. As Madana Mohan Prabhu pointed out, it is prophylactic and antiseptic. The example that's often given is that the sun will shine upon a puddle of urine and it will actually purify that area, but the sun doesn't become contaminated. Antiseptic. So the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like that Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta, eternally liberated. It is not a sound of this material realm. Golok Era Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. Our Vaishnava Acharyas glorify the Sankirtan and the process of Krishna Katha as Golok Era Premadana Harinama Sankirtana, imported from the spiritual sound. Purnashuddha Nitya Mukta Vinatvam Nami Namino. That by the inconceivable absolute nature of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His name, His activities, His qualities, His transcendental form is non-different than Him. Right? We hear this stated. So someone may say, that sounds very nice. What's your proof? Well, one thing that comes to my mind is that those who take shelter of the holy names of Krishna, who take shelter of Krishna Katha, they become purified at heart. They become saintly at heart. They develop the 26 qualities described of saintly Vaishnavas, compassionate, intolerant, and kind, and forbearing, and only eating what's required, and steady, with control of the mind and the senses, so many wonderful qualities. Even in the Bible, I think it's in Ephesians, maybe Corinthians, there's a description, a list of what they call the fruits of the Spirit. Someone whose heart has been touched by the Holy Spirit of God. And it's somewhat similar, not surprisingly. But anyways, so we see that people who chant properly, even improperly to some extent, their hearts become changed. And so we can understand this is not some ordinary words, special potency. And those who chant and sing and hear the transcendental sound, what is that verse? In the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about the potency of Krishna Katha. There's a couple of verses. What is one verse?
Srinvatam Svakata Krishna. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna.
Punya Shravana Kirtana. Kirtana. Ridyanta Stoa Bhadrani. Vidinoti Saritsatam. That Srila Prabhupada translates that verse. I've seen it translated that when the devotee takes shelter of this process of hearing Krishna Katha, then Lord Krishna, as the ever well-wishing friend, takes his broom and cleanses the heart of so many unwanted things. Unwanted things. So we're hearing in this verse that for those yogis, those living entities who fix their mind upon Bhagavan, Krishna, they experience such transcendental happiness that they do not care for anything else. Well, that sounds really good. That sounds really, really good, especially when I think of some of the things my heart is sometimes addicted to. Just like a camel. Sometimes a camel is chewing on the leaves of some bush and its thorns and there's blood and the camel is really good. But it's its own blood. Camel, Srila Prabhupada describes in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's camel happiness. I heard one lecture Srila Prabhupada was describing the happiness of the Rakshasas. A person of Rakshasa mentality, whose heart is just overcome with Raja and Tamagun. They're supposedly enjoying, but when we look and see what they're enjoying, it is miserable. It is so miserable. Drinking, drugs, addicted to sex life. Not very nice. Those of us who work or have worked, regular mainstream work area, even ourselves, myself. Oh, what's that TGIF? Thank God it's Friday. I worked in this place, it was a factory, people were doing manual work, and I would hear, oh, I can't wait till Friday. This is just miserable. We have to be polite. This work is just miserable. Just can't wait till it's Friday. And then they come in on Monday. Oh, I feel sick. Head hurts. How was your weekend? Well, I had a good time. Oh, you had a good time. So unfortunate. So unfortunate. But they don't know anything else. And then we understand that because of engaging in sinful activities, killing of animals, and illicit sex, gambling, there is reaction in this life and the next life. One thing about sinful activities, not just we get clunked on the head in our next life, but one thing about performing sinful activities, if we break the regulative principles, then one part of the reaction is that our heart becomes inclined to do it again. our heart becomes inclined to do it again, become driven. If you surrender to me, Krishna says, Lord Chaitanya says, if you surrender to me, then I will free you from the modes of material nature. But if we don't take that shelter, if we don't surrender to Krishna's Gita, Krishna says, surrender to me. In the 18th chapter, he says, for one who hears me, right? He says, for one who hears me, who hears my Gita, he will cross over all the obstacles of material life. So we can understand that if we don't hear Krishna's Gita, if we don't revolve our life around the teachings, basic teachings of Bhagavad Gita and the instructions of our spiritual master, we won't be protected from the modes of material nature, and we'll be grabbed around the neck, we'll be seized in the heart, and we'll be thrown, just forced. Like sometimes, I remember the once or twice I went on a roller coaster. My mind really did not like it. And I was just, my mind was terrified, actually. When is this going to stop? Get me off this thing. Get me out of here. You know? So sometimes, you know, the heart gets gripped by strong, unwanted desires. And we don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. But the heart is just gripped by the modes of material nature because of our prior sinful activities, offenses. And it can be very frightening. I don't want to go there. That will be very bad. But Krishna, he offers his shelter. Surrender to me. You follow my instructions. So what are the four chief requests of the Lord in Bhagavad Gita? Four things that he demands. Puskar Prabhu? What are they in English? Who would like to say one? Always think of me. What else? Become my devotee. Worship me. What else? Bow down to me. So Srila Prabhupada describes that Krishna wants these four things. And the first thing is manmana. Do anything you want, but make sure you always think of me and never forget me. Now, we were discussing way back when why. So by always thinking of Krishna, love can develop. Because we've forgotten Krishna, by remembering Krishna, we will do what we will situate ourselves as we should be, remembering our relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he speaks two encouraging verses, 627, 628. 627, the yogi whose mind is fixed on me verily attains the highest perfection of transcendental happiness. He is beyond the mode of passion. Sounds good to me. He realizes his qualitative identity with the Supreme, and thus he is freed from all reactions to past deeds. How does he become free from all reactions to past deeds? What is that? What did Krishna say? Someone say.
Surrender.
No offense, but there must be someone else besides Madana Mohan Prabhu in the room. Oh, well, someone can speak up a little louder. What was that? So I'm surrendering. And he specifically says, it is by thinking of me. So many things that we can do with our body and with our mind. But Krishna says, if you think of me, that will purify your heart of the mode of passion and sinful reactions.
But in this age, it's been stressed, of course, thinking is difficult, therefore even Sanatana Goswami recommends, better than trying to just simply think, kirtan is better because we trap the mind. Obviously, thinking doesn't work that much, just thinking.
Yes.
Therefore, why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu try to propagate?
Very good point. Chanting? So we cannot, it's very difficult to simply sit and think. And thinking is the, so how to think, that is the next discussion. So the first thing is the mind needs to be fixed on Krishna. Then, well, how do I do that? So Puskar Prabhu very nicely pointed out that in this day and age, the chief way and one of the best ways of fixing our mind on Krishna is by kirtan. And we have this process of japa. And Srila Prabhupada will explain a little bit further in this purport that by performing the daily activities of our life for Krishna, we work for Krishna. And so in the course of our working, we're automatically thinking, I'm cooking for Krishna, I'm dressing the deity for Krishna, I'm making money for Krishna so I can use the money to do puja or give donation to the temple. It's one way or the other, I'm working for Krishna. I'm eating for Krishna so I can engage in Krishna's service. I'm sleeping for Krishna so my body and mind is rested to engage in Krishna's service. So these are some practical ways of thinking of Krishna. But I was making the point that this thinking, we understand different stages of devotional life. We come into the society of devotees. We get the seed of devotional life. Upon initiation, we become attracted to engage in the activities of devotion, bhajana kriya. And then there is a fairly long stage of anartha nivritti. And something Mahatma Prabhu pointed out many moons ago, but it's primary instruction of our Vaishnava theology is that we're here in this world and we're stuck in these material bodies because of our hostility towards Krishna. To one degree or the other, it may be minute, it might be microscopic, it may be not at all. It may be gargantuan. But to one extent or the other, every conditioned soul in this world has some hostility towards Krishna. There is envy deep, deep in the heart. And this human life is meant for healing. It is meant for healing. This whole material world is a hospital, so that we can heal our hearts and heal our relationship with Krishna and heal our relationship with ourselves and heal our relationship with each other. And it's a great task. Some of us, it's more of a task than maybe for others so Srila Prabhupada explains in the nice little sentence, I'll get back to you, Prabhu, in a moment. In the first few verses of the seventh chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the wonderful thing about chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is that it'll cleanse the core of the heart of all envy of Krishna. And I was just reading the other night, I think Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was making the point that our hearts, to whatever degree it may be there, I can only speak for myself, but to whatever degree there is a lack of interest in Krishna, to whatever degree there is, I don't want to be near Krishna in our heart, the solution is to fix our mind on Krishna anyway. Srila Prabhupada describes this in the beginning of his very first Back to Godhead magazine. He says, so we're presenting this transcendental knowledge, and he lays it right on the table. He puts the cards right there. He says, in the beginning, it will be dry. He says, in the beginning, the subject matter may be dry. It may not seem very appealing. But if you go on taking the medicine in medicinal doses, regularly hearing about Krishna, fixing the mind and heart on Krishna through kirtan, through japa, through hearing the transcendental literatures, then the wonderful result will be is that it will become increasingly tasty. So we hear after the stage of anartha nivritti, when the unwanted things, the lust and the greed and the envy and the hostility is reduced considerably to nil in our heart, then nishta, We have firm faith that I don't want to do anything but chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, be in kirtan, chant japa. That's all I want to do. Nishka and ruchi after that. Some taste, some attraction. Oh, let's go to the mall. I don't want to go to the mall. Let's go to the beach. I don't want to go to the beach. I'm happy. I'm fine. I have a good time. Like that. And so that is something to look forward to. But the process of getting there, part of it, one important piece of it, is trying our best to fix our mind on Krishna through the various means that have been given to us. And as described in this verse, as described here in Bhagavad Gita, it's not just for some future, sometime in the future I'll get some benefit. Some people criticize, what is this religion? You're just throwing aside everything for some future. Who knows if it's even there? Well, we have happiness right now. Bhakti yogis, we can be blissful now by chanting. And we can have a pure heart now, or purer heart now. And there's another very important reason for always remembering Krishna, which is extremely important, I think. Srila Prabhupada explains, Lord Krishna explains in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, that when we put our mind, when we put our heart close to Krishna, we are much, much better able to hear Super Soul. We are much, much better able to hear that inner voice, that inner conscious, which guides us. What is that verse about how I give intelligence to those? Tesham satatam yuktinam bhajatam pritipurvakam didami buddhi yogantam yenamam upayantite. He says, I give direction. Turn left, turn right, go up, go down, do this, do that. The very critical information. Sometimes we find ourselves in very challenging circumstances. And unless we get just the right intelligence to turn left or turn right, we can get badly burned. We can even really shock our devotional creeper half to death if we don't make the right decision. And by keeping our mind on Krishna, even keeping our heart on Krishna, keeping our intelligence absorbed in Krishna, even our mind may be agitated by lust and greed and anger and pain. Pain is a big one. So many feelings. But if we can keep our intelligence and our heart fixed on Krishna by kirtan and japa and hearing the Vaishnava Shastras, etc., then we are in a much, much better position to receive guidance from Krishna. He will be better able to offer us protection, and we will be better able to take that protection. If we break the regular principles, if we sleep 9-10 hours a day, if we don't get up early, if we allow our heart to get murky and cloudy and muddy, then we will close the channel. We will turn off the channel to Krishna, and we may end up doing very things we couldn't believe that we could do because we lost connection like that. So these are some different points that generally have some value. I didn't touch upon all the things in the purport. I'm going to stop here. Some other
Prabhu, can you complete reading the purport?
Yes, all right. The difference between the spiritual and material world is the mentality of service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchite. When there is no mentality of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's activities are material. That which is not engaged in the service of the Lord is material, and nothing thus engaged should be given up. In the construction of a high skyscraper and the construction of a temple, there may be the same enthusiasm, but the endeavors are different, for one is material and the other spiritual. Spiritual activities should not be confused with material activities and given up. Nothing connected with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is material. A devotee who considers all this is always situated in spiritual activities, and therefore he is no longer attracted by material activities. Some discussion, comments?
There's a nice point Rabindra Srup made in one of our japa programs. He said, within attention is the seed of attraction. So you were asking that question. Why focus our mind? So he was making the point that anything that people give attention to, they tend to become attracted. It could be something as insignificant as rocks, and people become attracted and get PhDs in geology and are fascinated by rocks because that gives them so much attention to it. And we see in advertising, they say, when you put an ad in a magazine, you need to put it in 3 times. People need to see it. If they see it enough, become attracted. Or in a store, you know, you see it enough, meditate on it, so automatically.
Another nice thing that I remember that goes along with what you just said, may go along with what you just said, is that by our fixing our attention on Krishna, it is a signal to him that we're interested in him. You know, sometimes I have experience, I'm reading and my mind is thinking this, thinking that, going here, I'm chanting Japa, so many things, what's the use? But the thing is, from the Lord's point of view, when he sees that we're, here's a crude analogy. So some daughter, some son is run away from home, they're living some distant place. So the mother and father, not even that the children have come home, but if the mother or father just hears, someone says, oh, I saw your child, they were looking at your picture. The parents become so happy. Oh, they're looking at my picture. Wow, that's Krishna. To us, it may seem like, boy, my heart's out to lunch. But from Krishna's point of view, they're trying. They're trying to come to me. Let me help them. Let me cleanse their heart. Let me send them what they need to help them come close to me. So when we fix our mind on our japa and kirtan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, it is like sending up smoke signals, kind of, to Krishna, maybe, that I'm interested in you. And he reciprocates. It's not a useless endeavor. Oh, I'm not learning any verses. I'm not memorizing. I can hardly think about it. No. It is worship. It is puja. It is showing Krishna that we care about him, however little it may seem to us that we do. Oh, Mataji?
I'm just going to share a story that I read from the book When the Sun Shines, because you were talking about the misery of work. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting with two of his senior disciples in England, and they were just talking about, you know, their previous jobs. I think it was Bada Bihari or Braja Bihari, something like that. He was saying, oh, Prabhupada, it was so miserable. You know, I had to put in bathtubs and showers, and there was so much steam, and it was so hot. And then they put me on night shifts, and he said, I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown. And the other devotee was commiserating, saying, yeah, you know, it was horrible. It was Revati Nandan. He said, oh, I couldn't stand it. And Prabhupada said, you could not tolerate such conditions because you were Brahmins in your last life. He said, but now we are all together again, chanting Hare Krishna. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I was reading a number of prayers, songs written by second and third generation followers of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, not very long after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada quotes from them. And again, they glorify Lord Chaitanya. How wonderful it is that he has come to distribute spiritual love, ecstatic spiritual love. And the devotee invariably concludes the song that I'm so unfortunate that I was not able to take advantage, or I'm not able to take advantage. I'm not able to take complete advantage all the time. I know sometimes I wonder, I'm talking with other devotees, I know sometimes all of us sometimes think that we hear such expressions of joy and happiness by our Vaishnava saints chanting the glories of Lord Krishna, And we, you know, where is that? Where is that for me? You know, I feel really dry in my heart. You know, so why is that? So we hear there's different reasons. One big one is offenses. Again and again in Srila Prabhupada's letters to his disciples, to all of us, we are all his disciples or grand disciples. He says, so chant 16 rounds offenselessly. Again and again. Not just chant 16 rounds, but offenselessly. Find out what the offenses are and try to avoid them. As Srila Prabhupada pointed out in this purport, this mentality of service, chanting in a mood of service, that my spiritual master has asked me to chant or has given me this chanting as my service to Krishna Balaram, to Sri Sri Radhasham Sundar, to Nitai Gauranga. This is my little service given to me, however fallen I may be. This is my opportunity to offer a little service. Oh Lord Krishna, may you please accept my attempt to offer service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Jai, glory to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Vaishnava Sri Jai.